So that is an excuse for you not to be faithful to your commitment. That's an excuse for you to not do what it is that you said that you were going to do. If you made a commitment to do something, then that goes back to the integrity of your heart. You know, I'm on about 4 or 5 boards. And every time a board meeting rolls around, there's always something else that I could be doing. And I say to myself, man, I wish I wasn't on this board. Because, there's some other things I need to do. But you know what? I made a commitment. I made a commitment that I was going to be there. And the commitment that I made was not only to be there, but as best as possible to be there on time.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with his message titled, What a Lame Excuse. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of What a Lame Excuse.
Well, we're continuing on with our series this morning, Overcoming the Lion in the Street. How to deal with the excuses in our lives that set us back. And as we've been studying this message here, if you go ahead and put those slides up, we'll see that the lion in the street, the excuses are just manifestations of some underlying problems. The first underlying problem that we see in the Word of God where people offer excuses is disobedience, that Adam had disobeyed God, and he ate of the fruit, and what did he do? He gave an excuse. He said, the woman that you gave me. And then the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. So at the root of Adam's excuse was disobedience. We looked at Moses, and we saw how that when a person has a lack of faith, that they begin to make an excuse. God told Moses, and he revealed himself to Moses as the great I am. And you can put behind that whatever you want. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the light. Whatever you want to put behind that, God told Moses, I am. And instead of Moses stepping out on faith and trusting God, Moses began to offer what? Excuses. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't speak, nobody will listen to me, what authority do I have? So he began to offer excuses. The third root of excuses that we looked at last week was slothfulness. The lazy man, he offers the excuse of a lion being in the street, and that's why he can't go out and do what he needs to do. There's a lion in the street, and I can't go out and do what I need to do. The fourth reason that we're going to look at this morning as a root of excuses is a lack of faithfulness to your commitment. A lack of faithfulness to your commitment. And I know I'm going to be in trouble this morning. I'm glad that Brother Dave is down here. He got a little size to him so he can fight off some of my attackers this morning. I might need to recruit a few more of y'all up here on the front row. You know, I've been to some churches. You know, there's some pastors, they have armor bearers, right? And they'd be standing right down. I preached in a church in Philadelphia, and the whole time I preached, inner city Philadelphia, the whole time I preached, there was about 4 guys just standing right down front. Just standing right down front. And whenever I came off the pulpit, they moved with me. And then they stood with me the whole time that I was greeting people afterwards. And when I went back into the pastor study, they followed me all the way back into the pastor study. I might need to get me some armor bearers up in here. I might need me some armor bears just to make sure Pastor Glaze got some protection here. But today we're going to talk about the excuses that are birthed out of a lack of faithfulness to one's commitment. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, and this is one of the parables that we studied this summer during our break when we looked at the parables of Jesus. And as we look at the parable this morning, we see in this parable there are 4 invitations and three excuses. Four invitations and three excuses. It says in verse 16, we read the first excuse. Luke chapter 14, we see the first invitation. He says, "And he said unto him, a certain man gave a great supper and bade many." So this is the first invitation. This man throws this big shindig and he invites many people. And all the people that he invited, some of them said they would come, and others let him know that they might be busy and they wouldn't be able to make it on that evening. So he knew who had accepted the invitation, and he knew who had rejected the invitation. So many people might have said, well, you know, I'm busy that evening, and I can't come to the supper that night, so I'm letting you know right now I can't come. But the second invitation goes out. And the second invitation goes out to all those who had accepted the first invitation. Because he says in verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, those that were invited and accepted the invitation, come, for all things are now ready. The second invitation. Now we see three excuses that go out as to why they can't attend. Now remember, keep in mind that they've already accepted the invitation. They already said they were coming, all right? And we see the first one in verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen and have to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now we look at the third invitation. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry. Now why was he angry? He was angry because these guys said they were coming, and now they're not going to show up. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And so we see the fourth invitation. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men who were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I want to say this morning, and I'm going to give you the correct theological interpretation of this parable, but then I would like to take a little theological liberty and use the illustration out of the parable to preach my sermon this morning. So I'm letting you know up front, this is what this parable means. This parable is talking about the fact that people who had been originally invited to partake in the banquet, which were the Jewish people, which were Jesus' own people that he had offered salvation to first. You remember the scripture says he came unto his own and his own received him not. So the invitation goes out to the Jewish people, and especially some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and instead of them coming to this great invitation, they found a reason and an excuse not to come. Their entire destiny rested on the fact that they would come to this banquet. Their soul salvation rested on the fact that they would partake in this great supper, and they refused to come. So the teaching from the parable is that salvation was offered to the people of Jesus' day, to the religious leaders of his day, and they refused to receive the invitation to salvation. And therefore, Jesus says, well, then go up to the Gentiles. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. So that's the meaning of the parable. So I want to lay that foundation right up front so nobody thinks that, well, Pastor Glaze is doing an injustice. He didn't tell us what that parable means. That's what the parable means. But in keeping with our series on excuses, I want to look at the three guys that gave the excuses and find out what was the root cause for them giving their excuses. And the bottom line to the root cause is they had made, watch this now, or you're going to miss the message. Watch this. They had made a commitment and they didn't honor it. So there was no faithfulness. There was a lack of faithfulness to their commitment. And how many of God's people have made commitments and have failed to be faithful to the commitment that God, that you made to God, that you made to your spouse? You know, when we've been talking about excuses, you know, we've been talking about all type of excuses, you know, excuses that husbands make for not being a better husband and excuses that people make for not being better Christians. So we're talking about all kind of excuses. And so sometimes people have made a commitment and they have failed to be faithful to the commitment. And when they fail to be faithful to the commitment, then they begin to make excuse. Well, I would have did this or this would have happened. Or I would have did this if that wouldn't have happened. And so you find an excuse because of the lack of commitment or the lack of faithfulness to the commitment that you made. So the title of my message today is What a Lame Excuse. What a lame excuse. Somebody said that there are three types of excuses. Three types of excuses. There are cool excuses, there are bizarre excuses, and then there are just lame excuses. You know, a cool excuse, you know, might be, well, you know, I got tied up, you know, focusing on something, and that's the reason that I'm late. You know, I was caught up in a project, and I just got so overwhelmed and, you know, got so enraptured in the project that that's the reason that I'm late. That's a cool excuse. That's a cool excuse. Then I read a couple of weeks ago some bizarre excuses, you know, that kids give for their homework. You know, they got one child said that he was abducted by terrorists and they held him and just didn't let him go until it was time to go to school and he didn't have time to do his homework. That's a pretty bizarre excuse, right? And then they're just lame excuses. And, you know, what these guys gave here were lame excuses. And I wonder if God doesn't sometimes look at us and fit our excuses in the categories and say, that's a cool excuse, that's a bizarre excuse, and that's just an outright lame excuse. You know, some of you may have heard this song. Years ago it was out, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses, so to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the spring, when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach to visit some old friend, or you just kind of stay home and hope that the relatives will drop in. Well, the benches are too hard and the choir sings too loud. Boy, you know how nervous I get when I'm in a great big crowd. The doctor told you, you better watch them crowds, they'll set you back, but you go to that old ball game because it helps you to relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night, but by work time Monday morning, hey, you're feeling quite all right. While one child has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Well, the whole family has to stay home just to help that poor kid blow his nose. Well, the preacher, he's too young, or maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're not hard enough, or maybe they're too bold. His voice is too quiet-like, and sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or hey, he's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long, or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, that preacher we've got, he's the world's most stuck-up man. Well, one of the ladies told me the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses. Excuses. You hear them every day. Now, the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Lame excuses. And as we look at these guys, on first reading, you might say, well, those excuses don't sound that bad to me. But let's examine these excuses, because they really are lame excuses. The first guy, as we look in verse 18, it says that he said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, as I said earlier, keep in mind that everyone who is addressed here had already been invited to the supper, and they had agreed to come. So he now says that he can't make it. What a great insult to the host. How many people here would be happy if you went through the time and trouble to prepare a great meal and invited folk, and they said they were coming, and then you go tell them it's time, come on, it's time to come, and they say that I can't come right now at the last minute. You see, what a great insult to the host. And the fact of the matter is, to show you how ridiculous this excuse is, how many people buy property without going to check it out first? Somebody said that back in Jesus' day, whenever you bought a piece of property, that the first thing you do before you bought it is that you would get to know the field. Listen to this. It says that before a prospective buyer even begins to bargain, he makes himself thoroughly familiar not only with the field, but watch this, with the springs, with the wells, with any walls, with any trees. He knows the average rainfall of the region, and he knows all these things before he will purchase a piece of property. And not only that, but he will know the history of the property, and he will know who owned the property. So for this individual to make the statement that I have bought a field and I have to go check it out was an absolutely lame excuse. Lame excuse makes absolutely no sense at all, because nobody buys a field and then goes to check it out after they purchased it. Second thing. Second guy comes and he says in verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go and prove them. Now, here again, that would be, and you know what, hopefully nobody in here has done this, even though I know people do it, buy a car, sight unseen, and pay for it, and then go check it out. That's not a good decision. That's not being very wise. Most of us, if we're going to get a car, we go ride the thing. And if you're really on top of the situation, that you'll go and get a mechanic to come along with you to check the vehicle out. So, you know, for somebody just to go buy a vehicle without checking it out, that makes absolutely no sense. So for this guy to say that he had just bought some ox and he had to go check them out, it was a lame excuse. Once again, going back to Jesus' day, they did this thing one or two ways. Either there was a market where they sold ox or oxen, and you know what was right beside the market where they sold it? There was a big field, And what could you do? You could take those ox and you could go in the field and you could check them out. Or if you bought it from a private owner, you would go to the private owner's land, his place, and you would say, hey, man, let me check these oxen out. And he would let you take them out in the field, and he would let you walk them up and down to see how well they work together, you know, because they were yoked together. So you want to make sure that you're getting some ox that are going to work together. So you're just not going to go buy ox and then go check them out later. You're going to make sure that these ox are compatible. Because what does 2 Corinthians say? It says that be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Well, why does it say that? Because it's going back to that analogy. If you got a believer and you got an unbeliever, then what are they doing? They're moving in two different directions. They're pulling in different ways. And, you know, you don't have the same goals. You don't have the same purposes. So that's why he said that unbelievers shouldn't marry an unbeliever, because you're pulling in two different directions. And so the same is true here. If you go buy two ox, you want to make sure that they're compatible. You want to make sure that they can work together. You want to make sure that they can pull together. So you're not going to purchase, and then five yoke of oxen? You're not going to purchase five yoke of oxen and then go say, let me go check them out. Lame excuse. Lame excuse. I mean, can you imagine sometimes, once again, how the Lord must say, cool excuse, bizarre excuse, lame excuse. The third guy, he comes and he says, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Now, once again, he already said that he was coming. He already accepted the invitation. Now, didn't you know it was going to be your honeymoon when you accepted the invitation? You should have told the guy right then, well, look, man, you know, and the time that you're given the invitation, you know, I'm getting married a couple days before that, and I'm not going to be able to come. So, you know, you can mark me off the list. And so he didn't say that. And so his excuse becomes absolutely ridiculous, because if that happened, he should have known that he was going to be dealing with a new wife at that time. And should have never even made the commitment to come. And notice also about this guy, the first two guys at least had the decency to say, what? Excuse me. Please excuse me. This guy don't even say excuse me. What an insult. What a slap in the face to the host. So that brings us to where we are today. How does this relate to us? How can we see where we are at in reference to these lame excuses? Well, let me share with you a couple of excuses that arise out of a lack of faithfulness to your commitment. A couple of excuses that arise out of your lack of faithfulness to your commitment. Here goes one right here. I forgot. We meet every month, the same time, and I forgot. Now, you know, you might forget every now and then. We all have senior moments, and it's very easy to say that, you know, that you forgot. And we can give you the benefit of the doubt by saying, okay, I understand. Get ready, Brother Dave. But for people who on a regular basis forget about a commitment that they have made to be at, My. What, this is an indication of your lack of faithfulness. Because at the least, you should have put it somewhere in your day plan.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of What a Lame Excuse. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, What a Lame Excuse, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What a Lame Excuse. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What a Lame Excuse. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.